Good morning. Welcome here to each and every one of you again. Thinking as James kicked off the service there with his some slides and challenge to write down, consider our blessings. Well, we're halfway through this series today. We've walked through the first three chapters and we'll break for Advent and Christmas and continue with chapter 4 to 6, really. How do we live out our identity in Christ? We're only halfway through. Go through the first three chapters. Consider the blessings. Who we are in Christ is powerful. And living out our identity in Christ and out of our identity in Christ, I hope you're getting this, but it's not optional. For followers of Jesus, this is foundational. This is the core, discovering who we are in Christ and learning to live it out in the real world, in real relationship. This is foundational, not optional. And part of what we are, I don't know if you remember when we kicked off this series this fall, there's several themes going throughout Ephesians. One of them is a theme of power. Do you feel powerful today? You can take on life, make a difference. You can move forward in faith, grace, and love, discovering God's love for us, sharing His love with others. You feel powerful in what God's called you to do and to live. Often we don't, right? We feel defeated. We feel beaten down. God invites us here. Paul's going to break into this incredible prayer. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. If you want to grab your Bibles, this passage will come up on the screen, but some of the others that I'm using this morning will not. Ephesians 3, verses 24 to verse 14 to 21. Breaks into this incredible prayer. In fact, we should learn how to pray Scripture. This is one easy place to start because it is written as a prayer. I pray for you, he says, and then specific things he's praying for. He requests prayer for himself. This is a prayer. We should learn how to pray Scripture. We're going to deal with that at the end of December, right after Christmas, for one Sunday as we take this break in this series. He prays three key things to experience true life, empowered life, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, affecting every area of life. This prayer, if we go to there, that's the right slide already. Isaiah 40 reminds us this power, right, available to through God, through His Spirit. When we're beaten down, He says, come to me, be renewed, and you'll walk. You'll run. You'll soar like on eagle's wings. And I'm tempted to dive into that Isaiah passage, but I won't. I'm just referring to it. But think about the greatness of God. And cry out to the real God is what that passage is about. Crying out to the real God. Quit relying on other stuff. Discover the true God and who you are in the true God. That's when Paul, in the same theme, he breaks into this prayer for the Ephesians and requests prayer for himself, from them. He says, let's do mutual ministry. Let's pray for one another for these key things that he's been outlining in the first three chapters of Ephesians, our identity in Christ and how it'll play out in relationships. And he just breaks into this beautiful psalm in the middle of Ephesians here. Let's read this to discover more of our identity and how we can live it out. Ephesians 3, we're starting at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He ends with these couple of verses. Now to Him who is able to do far more and abundantly more than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He says this is empowerment is for every true believer of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, we're empowered by the Spirit. Amen. Empowered by the living God residing, dwelling within us. This is available. If we can go to the next slide, I want to outline this and then we'll move back and walk through these. I have very few slides this morning. Sometimes I got some whatever cartoons and other stuff to help keep us engaged. There's very few. We're going to walk through this passage. But here's kind of where I'm going. The identity is we are God's. We're named after Him. We see that right in verse 14. We'll go back there in a minute, but I'm going to walk through this slide. And in taking on that identity, really believing it and living it out, we need to drive out doubts. The Spirit resides within us. He's actively empowering and leading us. But we quickly slip into doubts. Oh, does that really define me, or am I defined by this? We take on other things. We need to go on the offensive, really, and believe and receive God's grace, His work in our lives. And these things that Paul's going to outline in this passage is that discipline part. He says we're empowered through humble, fervent prayer. We're empowered as we engage in biblical community. And we're empowered as we seek to glorify God. Our mission statement as a church is that we're followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. And when we are actively doing that, we are empowered by the Spirit. Now, if we can go back to the first few verses. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That's our identity. We are God's. Right? We bear the name Christian, little Christs, followers of Jesus. We don't just try and live His example on our own. We are His. We're indwelt by the living Spirit. We're bought and chosen. This is the Father. We call Him Father, Abba Father. Right? Precious, incredible, intimate relationship with Almighty God. And yet, sometimes we can slip, I don't know, I do, into just taking that for granted. Yeah, whatever. Kind of know it. I'm His son. I'm His daughter. He's my Father. We just take it for granted rather than really taking advantage of it. Right? You break something as a young child, what do? Come and give it to Dad. Will you fix it? Why, when we get older, do we quit going to Dad so immediately? We have a Heavenly Father. We can bring Him anything. Right? You don't go to the guy down the street that you hardly know when something's broken. You go to Dad. Someone you're in relationship with, you know and love, and you know that he loves you, and he'd love to fix this for you. That's our identity. We're his. We're named after him. It's empowering, emboldening as we understand, as we grow in that understanding. Really know this. Continuing reading. Every family in heaven and on earth is named that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Doubts reside, or faith resides. That he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Doubts arise from within us, or we are strengthened and empowered through his spirit in our inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Take up residence there, not just come in a little bit, out, in, out, whatever else. Something else supersedes him for a bit. No, consistently dwells in our hearts through faith. Faith either abides or the doubts abide. They rob us of our identity in Christ or they don't. I forgot to call up my volunteers. My volunteers are going to help us paint this contrasted picture of living our identity. We'll be on this side. So the positive words that Paul's outlining here for the Ephesians and for us are going to happen on this side. And the ones that rob us out of our false identity, we can put that down, and our true identity, that's going to contrast this for us more visual learners. Think about some words you would put down, but they're going to listen, and they're going to put down words that apply to this. As we consider this morning, Paul here starts with prayer. I pray for you. I bow my knees before the Father. He's already actively engaging in prayer, wanting them to be rooted and grounded in love, in their true identity, who we are in the Father. Praying that actively for them. Like I said, either doubts reside or faith resides. Either we're believing some untruth or we're engaging truth. It's you're either for me or against me, and we're either moving towards him or we're moving away from him. Plateau is a falsity. It doesn't exist in real life. We're empowered by the true God. And in prayer, we learn to be dependent. This is key. In prayer, we learn to be dependent. Because apart from him, we're independent. To a fault, we're independent and try and live lives separate from God. And one that is dependent learns how to pray. So our true identity is a life of prayer. We learn prayerfulness. Pray continually, Scripture says. And our false identity is prayerlessness. Because we're trusting in something else, we don't really need to go to our Father. We're not learning to trust God more. We're trusting in something else, right? We can all do 911 prayers. When we're between a rock and a hard place, we have no answers. We can have 911 prayers. Help me out of this situation, right? And that's the extent of our prayer life when we're not really living out of our identity. We're not quick to go to God. We don't go to him first and foremost and in this surrendered posture, yes, answer however you want to lead forward, I'm following you. It's this 911, solve this problem for me, right? That's our false identity, these 911 emergency prayers. And we learn to trust in ourselves and trust in others first and foremost rather than God first and foremost. See, this is a continuum between these two things here. We're either moving towards our true identity in greater faith and trust, or we're moving away from it and learning to trust in something else. And obviously that builds up doubts. Doubts about God. Will he really do what he has said? Right? When we think about trusting God, think of King David. How many Psalms were written by David? Probably because he had nothing else to do, right? He wasn't doing anything else in life. He wasn't the king over all these crazy people, Israelites. He had lots to do, but somewhere in the midst of that, he prioritized prayer. They're prayers to God. They're songs to God. And he wrote those out. How's your prayer life? Does it indicate direction this way or direction that way? More prayerfulness and dependence on God or prayerlessness and dependence on something else? Moving towards your true identity or a false identity? Truth or untruth? Think of prayerlessness or a shift into trusting in self and other things. We think of King Saul, who came just before David. He was chosen by God too. He shifted. He was very dramatically moving in this direction. And it played out in his life in very tragic ways. Starts trusting in other things and in his own stuff rather than in God's leading and direction. Prayer is central to living in our identity and out of our identity. So which one are you moving towards today? Next thing he moves towards here is community. Being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Get that? We can't just get it up here, but we can experience it. We can know it like Adam knew his wife and she conceived. That's what this word is, knowing intimately. There's an experience of God's love. It happens in community. Community is essential. Are we moving towards biblical community and relationships? That's our true identity. We're moving away from it, moving towards individualism and this guarded, safe life. I'm not going to share that. Right? I appreciate Kevin and Wendy sharing. That was challenging. Going overseas, this was a very real challenge. We can identify with that. Who here is without challenge? As I quickly lower my hand, we all face challenges. None of us have arrived somewhere. Let's quit pretending that we have, or don't move in that direction of pretending, but be authentic with one another and go, this is my current challenge. Would you pray for me? And in community, we learn the depth and breadth and height and whatever the other one is, length of God's love. In community, as his people, in that authentic place where we don't have it all together, we experience that love together. He calls us to community with all the saints. And a teacher years ago, I'm sure I've said this before, but we really need to hear this. If we share our weaknesses, we get community. If we share our strengths, we get competition. How good is our society at competition? Competing against one another, even in the way we tell stories. We're often not even listening to their story, what's going on in their life. We're listening so that we have an opportunity to respond. We're not listening for understanding, to really understand their journey. And we can up that story, right? Hey, I did this amazing thing. Used to race cars and it was this fast. Oh, yeah, well, I used to do this and we had nitrous and we had, right? We up it. My dad can do this. My dad can do that, right? And it's competition rather than true community. Community is gained when we share our weaknesses and let others minister to us rather than that competitive nature. When I think of community, I think of the story of Naaman. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but go back and look him up. Read about it. It was a servant, I believe it was a child of a servant in the home, who suggested that Naaman, who had a horrible illness, should go see this man of God. Already several relationships going on there. Naaman had to submit to that. He went and found the man of God, and the man of God told him something crazy, foolish to do, go wash in that river that you guys hate. See, Naaman was outside the house of Israel. He wasn't an Israelite, a follower of God, but he took some counsel. And he goes, and then he says, go wash in this river, the one that you think is dirty and unclean. You go dip yourself in that, and you'll be cleansed. And his first response is, oh, I'm not going to do that. What a dumb thing to say. And he's walking out of there, but his servant says, dude, you came this way to get some counsel. You sought the Lord on this. And now he's giving you the answer, and you're going, nope, don't like that answer, right? Do we pray like that sometimes? God wants you to do this. And when he answers in a different way, you go, yeah, I don't know. That's outside where I thought it was going. And I don't want to go that direction anymore. But Naaman, to his credit, submits to that. He hears from the community. He's encouraged. He's humbled by people. And he goes, and he's cleansed. It's an amazing story. There's other things we can learn from that too, but I'm not going to dive into it right now. In community, amazing things happen. Years ago, I knew about a small group, one of the churches we were at. I knew it was moving towards greater, I got to remember which way I'm pointing, greater unhealth. They were sharing increasingly competitively in their small group about their successes and whatever else. Not really caring for one another. They were coming to demonstrate their great knowledge to one another. And it was a competitive nature. It wasn't caring, nurturing environment. And I knew as a leader in that congregation, man, I'm hearing rumblings of what's going on there. How do I step in, God? How do we bring this to move in this direction? And every time I lined up to go, something would come up. Get derailed. A new couple starts attending our church. They join that small group. And they come in and they go, here's some of what our kids and grandchildren are facing. And not sharing it in a gossip, unhealthy manner, but just going, would you pray, please pray for us? Because we don't have answers. Right? Rather than the other ones pretending they have answers and their kids are great. It shifted that whole small group moving in this direction. Here's who we are before God, and we are dependent on Him. And would you meaningfully pray for my kids and my grandkids, because we don't have answers. And they come humbly, they share their weakness, and it builds community. And it's powerful. And I didn't need to step in at all. God didn't need me. It's a bigger picture of the community, the body working together when we're pursuing our true identity. Prayerfulness is key. Community is key. And so is glorifying God. It's not just what we do, it's how we do it. When I think about someone who glorifies God, this won't come as a surprise, I hope. Jesus. He's the answer to all of these, really. But I want to read a little bit of Matthew 9 for us this morning. first 8 verses of Matthew 9. Look at this. Hear this story. And getting into a boat, he, that's Jesus, crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Glorified God. It's not just what we do. Somehow what Jesus did didn't bring all the attention to him. And they immediately moved. This is really early in Jesus' ministry. Remember, all throughout his ministry, he does something. "Don't tell people who I am yet." The way he does this brings glory to God. Remember in Acts, the magician guy coming to the apostles saying, "Hey, teach me, bless me, pray for me, I want that kind of power." Why did he want it? Glorify self. He wanted to be one of those guys that could do these amazing things and glorify self. But the way Jesus does it brings glory to God. And I realize Jesus is God, and bringing glory to Jesus is all fit in there. Recognize where it's at in his ministry. How we do what we do. Glory to God. Wow, I'm making a lot of noise here this morning. Unintentionally. I don't know where the break is. These three key things about living in our true identity. About a growing dependence on God through prayer. Humble, fervent prayer. Do we know how bad we need him? Are we humble to accept wherever, however he answers? Because he is God and we are not. We're dictating our prayers. We have a growing prayer life. Are we growing in interdependence with people, in community, or in something else? Or safety and something else? We're putting up barriers. Increasingly arm's length from people, or are we moving towards people and interdependence, learning, discovering who God is in those relationships. And those, even those hard relationships are an opportunity. Through church breakup or family discord, there's an opportunity to depend on God and learn about his amazing love in the midst of it. Do we believe that, or we shy away from it? When's the last time we acted out Matthew 18. Someone sins against you. Go one-to-one. When have we had a hard conversation with someone? Are we able to both receive God's love and grace and forgiveness and communicate it to others, as well as receive truth and correction in our own lives and be promoting those in other people's lives? Each other's lives. This is all love. And we learn this as we abide in Christ, who we truly are. What's our true nature? Learn to live in that. It affects every relationship. I might have to stand very still. Or when pursuing something else, an individualism that separates us from this. Which direction are you going? We want to celebrate direction. Right? It's not that we have arrived somewhere. We're perfectly living out our identity in Christ, or we're completely living not in Christ. It's about what direction are we moving. We're following God in this. Would you join me in a word of prayer? I might have to use this mic. Heavenly Father, We bow before you. You've done. You've accomplished all of this. And Paul breaks into this song, psalm, prayer. And he knows it's about mutual ministry. Some powerful dynamic between both him and the Spirit, the Ephesians in your spirit, and in their relationship together as he prays for them. As he requests prayer in his own life, they together experience your love, a growing dependence on you, interdependence with each other, a community, calling, be your people, and a growing God confidence that you are working through them to bring glory to God, and it's about Him and it's not about us. Father, would you lead us on this journey to more and more counter blessings of what you've accomplished and to live in our identity and out of our identity and to assess ourselves, which is our prayer life helping us move in which direction? Which is it an indication of? Assess our own relationships. And is it more important that we bring glory to you or that somebody thinks that we are an amazing person? Father, help us assess wisely and in the midst of this journey to experience more and more of your amazing love so that we are empowered, emboldened to share your love more courageously. We pray in your name. Amen.